In the name of Jesus, the light of the world, dear shining Christians, this past week on Wednesday, we buried my dear friend, Pastor Lauren Steele, the one that you've heard about as the founder of Friends for China, our missionary to the Asians, the Hmong, the Cambodians, the Thai. Pastor Lauren Steele, one of the finest evangelists I've ever seen, a street evangelist if there ever was one. A man who spent the first 25 years of his life in staunch unbelief, a gang member from the streets of LA, whom the Lord reached as a miracle of His grace, a first-generation Christian. If you've ever had the joy of talking to a first-generation Christian, there's a fire there that's burning brightly that's hard to match. For lifetime Christians that grew up in Christian families generation after generation, there's a deep bed of coals there that keep that fire burning, and that's a blessing. But for Pastor Steele, it was very much a kindred spirit, because although I grew up in a Christian home, grew up with the gospel, it always had that little twist in it that was taken out by Wisconsin Synod pastors when they told me to quit looking at myself and look at the objective promises of God that are not based on your feelings, the depth of your repentance. It's the good news. And Pastor Steele and I talked often. The stories that some people get bored hearing, and he never did. He always had more to tell about the people who heard the gospel for the first time from him. And now, I'm hearing it from the other side, from some of the Chinese, like Li Ping, the first that he led to Christ, who also sang with 30 or 40 Chinese at the funeral service there, a full church at Crown of Life, Trinity and Emmanuel and West St. Paul put together. Beautiful service with the Chinese singing the benediction, and pretty stout-hearted until it was time to sit down. And then drying their eyes for this dear pastor that told them about Jesus. I've seen and felt and experienced love as a called servant of the Lord, a great blessing of this job. But I've never seen it like that. As in these first-time Christians with their love and expressed also to him while he was still alive at the last dinner at Mount Olive Chinese Church, just pure, kind, grateful love. Because the Lord had gotten through to this hard-headed unbeliever and said, "Come and see." And that one sentence is all you need to be a powerful evangelist of the Lord Jesus. Just learn how to say, "Come and see." As Pastor Larry Cross from Resurrection in Rochester, our district president, said after the service was over, "God's work in Lauren Steele changed not just our district but our synod. And because of so many new believers overseas now preaching in some cases to thousands in their services in China, the Lord God changed the world." And this was a man who always talked about how dumb he was, how little he had to offer. But he did know how to say, "Come and see." And it's my prayer that if you don't believe in Jesus yet, if you have not yet seen him as your Savior, I pray the Lord will take the scales off your eyes and help you to see who Jesus really is. And if you already know, if you have seen, I pray God that at least once in your life, if not many, many times over, you will have this personal joy and experience of leading one soul at least to see Jesus for the very first time. And all you really need to be able to say is, "Come and see. Come and see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." At 1 John, did not know what he was looking at. This is in the Gospel of John, but the John that's mentioned by name in John's Gospel is never the Gospel writer. It's John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, cousin of Jesus, through cousins' mothers, Mary and Elizabeth. And John said, I would not have known him myself if I had not been told, if the one who sent me had not told me to baptize with water, and the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Right away, the Charismatics and Pentecostals mess this up for you, because they hear baptism with water and they hear baptism with the Holy Spirit, and they want to make these two different baptisms. What a mess. What a mess they've made in the Christian church by that. The question is not a question at all. It's clearly answered in Ephesians chapter 4, where the same Lord says through his apostle Paul that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And you see it over and over again in Scripture, if you're paying attention, that the water and the Word, the Spirit, are always there. Holy Spirit powering that water with the Word of God. They go together. There's one baptism. In fact, that same Holy Spirit is there at Jesus' baptism when John is washing with water and baptizing with water. And so John knew, because the Lord gave him this sign to open his eyes so that he would know exactly who this was, that this cousin of his from Nazareth in Galilee was actually the one, because they're standing in the water together. Jesus has come to John to be baptized, and John, you heard that before, said, I really need you to baptize me. Jesus says, let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness. And as John is baptizing him, the Spirit comes down in the form of a dove and lands on Jesus and stays there. And John confesses here, that's how I knew. The Spirit remained. This is what God told me to look for. And then there was that voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son. So the next day, this is after Jesus' baptism now, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he says to his disciples, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. These are good Jewish boys from up in Galilee. Grew up in the synagogue. Andrew and his brother, later Peter. The other disciple, probably John, because he doesn't mention his name, John the Gospel writer. When they hear, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, I don't see how they could help thinking of the great day of atonement and that scapegoat. Leviticus 16. The Lord told Moses to place his hands, or have the high priest place his hands on the head of this goat, ceremonially laying all the sins of the people on that goat, and lead it out into the desert. The people could literally watch this animal carrying their sins and disappearing out in the wilderness. How could you not think of that when John says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? The biggest problem is, and I've had people tell me this right to my face, I don't have any sin. Or they'll say, I'm a sinner. You just never hear them admit where they're wrong. To know and appreciate that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world requires God the Holy Spirit to turn the lights on for us. I have to see my sin. You have to see yours. Could we start with our sins of evangelism or the lack thereof? How often we pass up these opportunities, partially because we're not looking for them, not getting up in the morning and realizing that here again today, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I live because He gives me breath. I'm alive in my soul because He has given me His Holy Spirit through Word and Sacrament. Why am I here today? I have a job to do. Every student I run across in the classroom, every fellow worker, every neighbor, every relative, they're all blood-bought souls. Because the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world. How do you see them? What an awful sin we commit day by day. by just seeing people as people instead of blood-bought souls. Acting as if they're going to have to do something in order to be forgiven. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's been done. He said it is finished. And he keeps on carrying that sin away today. As day by day, he keeps forgiving sins committed based on that perfect sacrifice that he himself is, the Lamb of God. God, forgive us for never speaking up, for not looking for the opportunities, for not praying for the opportunities, and then being too fearful to speak when the time comes. Why can't we be like those little children? You can't tell them to stop telling about mom's going to have a baby. Try it. It doesn't work. Why do we worry so much? Am I supposed to speak here? Is this the time? Do I know what to say? Could we not just learn to say, come and see? Later on in John's gospel, one of the disciples, Philip, gets this question from Nathanael. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Will you not pray for those questions you can't answer? Just pray dangerously that God will give you the question you can't answer. Because all you need to do with that question is say, come and see. That's what Philip did. Same thing Jesus said. Come and see. It's a lesson that Pastor Steele was taught by God, a lesson that he learned very well, a lesson that would not be put down or quieted. The fact of the matter is, the leadership in our Wisconsin Synod had a problem with Pastor Steele. He didn't like to do reports. Serving on the mission board, they asked me to serve as the liaison, and I felt like the dean of students, caught between students who are unruly and an administration that wants everything, you know, all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, and the mission board keeps asking for five-year plans. And I have to keep telling the mission board, he doesn't know where he's going to be tomorrow, what street he's going to go down, where the Lord is going to lead him. How can you possibly ask him for five-year plans? And then go back to Pastor Steele and say, why don't you just take those write-ups you're using for Friends of China and send them to the mission board and let that be your report? But now even the administration has to laugh. Look at what God has done. Because someone learned to say, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it was a miracle that John knew it, a miracle that Lauren Steele knew it, a miracle that you and I know it. And God worked that miracle in us so that we'll pray for those opportunities to just say, come and see, the question you can't answer that opens the door for next time, even years later, to come back and say, remember when we were talking about such and such? I didn't know then. I finally looked it up. Or this is something else I learned about that. People are complimented when you come back, even months later, that you remembered a conversation you had with them. That's a huge compliment. And it's love in action. And it needs to be done over and over again. Even John, with his disciples, the next day, was there again, and he had to say it again. Look, the Lamb of God. God, forgive us for all the times we're afraid to say it over and over again. We Wisconsin Synod evangelists have this idea, well, if we just go out and survey a neighborhood or leave a few things off on their doorstep, that somehow is going to just automatically bring people in. And then we're so sad and disappointed when the mailings don't bring people in the way we want, or all this work that we've done just isn't getting through to people. And then we want to stop wasting the money, you know. We have these questions. Some of it's good, honest stewardship. There's no question about that. I don't mean to make light of that. But we also give up way too early. Anybody that's selling things, even material things, knows, you know, it's 6 times to 12 times. You've got to hit the same people over and over again. Repetition. Come and see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. come and see the Messiah. John saw Jesus again, looked the Lamb of God, two disciples heard, followed Jesus. He turned around, saw them following, says, "What do you want?" He always likes to ask these questions where he knows the answer already as God. "What do you want?" "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he said, "and you will see." So they went, saw where he was staying, spent the day with him. And what happens? Andrew, one of the two, we kind of figured that the other one was John, the gospel writer, because he doesn't mention himself by name. Later on, it's clear that he had already heard of Jesus. But here, he mentions Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He heard John say that, was following Jesus. The first thing he did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. "Come and see. We've found the Messiah." We all need a brother like Andrew. You need to be a brother like Andrew. Or maybe it takes a girlfriend. Pastor Steele liked to talk about his yondering days. This was his funeral service bulletin with a picture of Jesus that he drew. He'd been an artist good enough, like his sister. He could have actually done that professionally. He taught art in school, was a freelance artist for a time. But also during his yondering years, he was a lumberjack in the Redwood Forest, worked for the Fish and Wildlife Service in Alaska, top secret spy stuff for the Air Force in the Vietnam War, a wilderness guide, horse wrangler for pack outfits in the High Sierra Mountains, traveled extensively in Mexico, USA, Canada, Alaska, and the South Pacific. Kind of an adventuresome life, wasn't it? But his big adventures came when he was trying to date women, and one after another, in fact, six in a row, as he told the story, all turned out to be Christians. And this is a hardened unbeliever whose attitude was so stubborn and obnoxious that, in his words, they all just told him to get lost. Until finally, number seven, whose name was Charlene, he went out with her too. She didn't give up. She kept saying, "Come and see." She kept at it until she had shown this hardened unbeliever Jesus Christ, and the Lord, through her witness, tore the scales off his eyes until he could finally see this is the one that God promised. This is the Messiah. All those prophets of old had told about this Messiah to come, the Anointed One. John has to translate here from Messiah to Christ. Both mean the Anointed One. And Pastor Steele, who finally became a pastor, saw that. But you know how old he was when he finally made that decision to become a pastor? 36 years old. 25 years in unbelief, quite a few years of learning about Jesus, and finally asking himself this question, "If I really believe the Bible is true, why am I not sharing it with the world?" And then, at age 36, decided to study for the ministry, and became a pastor, called to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in St. Paul 1 year before I got here. So that would have been in 1985 that he was called here. And then started. Already knew Hmong by that time. Took me to some of the Hmong homes to show me what that was like. The Lord led him from one group to another until finally his last work was with the Chinese. He just kept saying, "Come and see. Come and see the Messiah," over and over again. It's that stubborn refusal to shut up. It's the stubborn refusal to give up. It's the stubborn faith that says these are blood-bought souls and all they really need to hear is this good news of Jesus Christ, and that makes you an evangelist, a good news teller. Just to say it, "Come and see. He's the one anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power." And do you believe that? I mean, in a minute, we're going to confess the Apostles' Creed. We're all going to say, "I believe." Do you believe the Bible is true? Do you believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Do you believe that He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Chosen One of God, your Savior, my Savior, the Savior of the world? Then why aren't you telling the world? Why aren't you telling everyone you meet? What is this that we think it's not the right time? What, we have to wait till the fires start on Judgment Day? It will be too late then. What will it take? What do we need to do? Even in the sense of stranger evangelism to get through. The first woman that the Lord reached in the Chinese culture through Pastor Steele was Li Ping. It took quite a while for her to tell me the story at the luncheon because people kept interrupting, but she got it out. How she and Pastor Steele were in the union at the U of M trying to get people to stop so they could talk to the Asians, and everybody just kept rushing past. I'm not quite sure whether it was her or Pastor Steele that did it. Maybe that's all you need to do when people keep rushing past. Spill some pop on the floor. And then whoever steps in it is going to have to stop and look at their shoe. And you get eye contact. That's what they did. Reach some Japanese that way. What will it take to get people to have sticky shoes to stop and talk? Li Ping likes to say, you know, that Pastor Steele, he got me started at his translator, and I was still an unbeliever. Pastor Steele went into Bing's restaurant off Robert Street in West St. Paul, Bing's Chow Mein, talked to the cooks, the waitresses, the owner, everybody he could, and held a Bible study. But since he didn't know Chinese, he had to have Li Ping come and translate. And when those three all said, well, we're too busy working 7 days a week, we can't have the Bible study anymore, Li Ping asked Lauren, well, what are you going to do if I leave? You won't have anybody. And Lauren says, I was only having the Bible study with you as translator so I could talk to you. He got the hook in her. That's what she says. He got the hook in me. He hooked a fish. He hooked a big one. Through her, the Lord opened channels through her husband, a visiting professor at McAllister, bringing a Chinese girl over to study high school. Pastor Steele, do you know a high school where she could go to study? Well, sure, there's St. Croix Lutheran High School in West St. Paul. No dormitory at the time. Until bus service got set up, Pastor Steele drove that young woman for 2 weeks, morning and evening, to school and from school until she could catch the bus. And Li Ping's husband said, we know a lot of other Chinese. Can we bring them to St. Croix? And that's how that whole dormitory had to be built. That whole window into China opened up because this woman came. And Li Ping and her husband were so impressed, as was the girl, because she came as an 11th grader. And Merlin Cruzy, the principal, said, you know, she knows her stuff. She'll graduate at the end of her first year. Saved a whole year of tuition and travel because she was ready to graduate. And this unbeliever, Li Ping, could not say no to Pastor Steele. The kindness was now an obligation to translate or do whatever. Caught by the hook of Christ's love. And you, dear evangelists, if only the Lord will teach you how to say, come and see, to point to this Christ like John the evangelist, what happens when you catch a fish? They don't die. They live. You catch a fish, he lives. May God grant us life, strength, joy, courage, stubbornness to say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, the Messiah. Question? Come and see. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.